All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm talking to you from, today I'm talking to you from Queens, actually, the borough of Queens. Last week I was in Queixas, Portugal, had a wonderful time there. But today is the 13th day of September, and I'm back in the borough of Queens, New York City. Before I talk to you more about today's show, I do like to remind you I publish a newsletter that focuses largely on junior exploration, gold and silver exploration companies. We also hit on some exciting energy stocks as well, and a few other things from time to time, a couple of biotechs that Chen Lin follows that we really love and are very exciting stories as well. And speaking of Chen Lin, I would like to encourage you to consider signing up for his letter, What is Chen Buying? What is Chen Selling? You can do that by going to chenpicks.com, chenpicks.com. And also like to remind you of Michael Oliver, who will be with me shortly, his wonderful newsletter, Momentum and Structural Analysis. Go to olivermsa.com to sign up for Michael's letter. Do want to thank you for listening to this show and making it one of the more popular shows on the Voice America Business Channel. Also like to encourage you to continue sending along whatever questions, whatever comments you have about this show, send them along to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com, questions4taylor@gmail.com. And, of course, we want to thank our sponsors. This week's sponsors, Irving Resources, Noble Resources, El Oro Resources, Reyna Gold Corp, Timberline Resources, and Lion One Metals. I've titled today's show, Supply Chain Disruptions and Inflation, or Deflation. John Rubino, Patrick Highsmith, and Michael Oliver are this week's guests. After the fall of the Soviet Union, the world engaged in global trade on a scale never seen before in world history. The U.S. entered into this new era by offshoring major industries, offshoring those jobs, those high-paying jobs, value-added jobs offshore. And while that benefited corporations with low-priced labor, it not only devastated America's middle class, but it also made America extremely vulnerable to China, which now produces life-sustaining products that America no longer produces, such as antibiotics and key materials used in industry. America employed fiat dollars, that is, dollars backed by nothing, that were accepted globally, largely because of our military force and certain diplomatic arrangements that were made with Saudi Arabia to require oil be priced in U.S. dollars. But along the way, nations like Russia and China took note of America's global expansionism funded with an intrinsically worthless dollar. And Russia in particular became angry with America and NATO, which dishonored its pledge not to add one single inch of new territory into NATO after the Soviet Union fell. The talk of adding the Ukraine into NATO was a line in the sand for Putin, who responded by invading the Ukraine. It was just a line too far. It was just pushing the envelope a little too far. So sanctions against Russia gave Putin no choice, from his perspective, but to cease selling energy to Europe unless sanctions were removed or energy was paid for in Russian rubles or gold. Even at a time when hyperinflation is becoming a real possibility, a growing number of European nations are planning to print enough money to pay for high energy prices thanks to green energy policies and sanctions. The European Union and especially certain countries there are in big trouble without energy supplies to keep them warm in the winter and to keep their industries humming. So Putin is playing hardball with the West and a desire to get the U.S. And NATO out of Europe. And to the West, and in particular Europe, will have to accept, I believe, a currency that is based on tangible assets like the ruble to buy its energy. You know, have to depend on those tangibles backing the currency, unlike the U.S. dollar, which has nothing behind it, gold or energy in the case of the ruble, or face an economic depression, either of a hyperinflation or a depression, deflationary depression. Time will tell. We hope something is resolved there, but whatever the case is, it would seem as though Europe in particular and the West in general is in big trouble economically. So if the West refuses to play ball with Putin, I think the only question is whether we will, whether this whole situation will be resolved in a hyperinflationary or a deflationary depression. I could be wrong, but that's the way I see it. Well, we'll discuss what all this means with John Rubino in the second half of today's show. Then in the second segment of today's show, Patrick Highsmith will update us on Timberline Resources. It's a company that has discovered a Carlin-style high-grade gold deposit in Nevada, and we're expecting some good news from that company. So Patrick will be with me in the second segment of today's show. But right now I'm happy to tell you that Michael Oliver is with me once again to give us his latest thoughts on these very challenging markets. Welcome, Michael. Thanks for joining me again.
Good to be back.
Always good to be back. And I know in your weekly letter this weekend, on your precious metals letter, you talked a great deal about silver, and it seemed to me that silver might have broken through the levels that are sort of key for the next rise, the next major run higher. What can you tell us about silver, and why is this really the key precious metal in your point of view?
Well, it's obviously gold's the mama, so what it does will influence silver. But there are times when you should watch the silver-gold spread, the price measure versus the other price. And, of course, silver's been losing value relative to gold on a per-ounce basis since January of 2021. That was the point where silver reached $30 for a second time. It had reached it in the summer of 2020 and again in January 2021. Ever since then, the spread between silver and gold has deteriorated, not collapsed, just gone down in arm-wrestling manner for, well, you know, a year and three quarters now almost. We measure things not by price so much as the momentum of price. In the case of a spread, it is price. It's one price versus another. So it's really a price chart. Okay. We study its momentum, and we've been watching a momentum structure that's developed on that spread for quite a few months now. It's a year and a half wide. In other words, if you looked at the spread chart, you see this declining staircase. But when you look at the momentum chart, you see a ceiling at a very shallow level that we bumped three prior times. We're now about to bump it a fourth time. I think we're going to break out this time if we close. It wouldn't take a lot more this week in terms of the shift in that spread to break it out, meaning at that point, MSA is going to say this metric, which we regard as very important, a weighty metric, it says the net trend of both metals is going back up. Because when this spread shifts direction, favoring silver or disfavoring silver, it usually means price of silver and gold are rising and silver is beating gold. In the case of when silver is losing versus gold, it means price is usually declining, which, of course, is what's been happening for the last year or so. The funny thing here, though, I'm really intrigued by this. It's not that silver rallied $2.50 off the low of the month as of yesterday's high. Right now, it's $2 off the low of the month up at the 1950 area. While that occurred, gold labored still in the lower part of the 1700s. Like, you know, it didn't even know what's going on with silver. It didn't give it any encouragement. Silver did it on its own, which I find very intriguing because I think it's very important it would do that. But when you look at a gold chart, just a price chart, a stupid, simple price chart, you've been in a range for 2 years since the 2020 high. We got up to $2,070. We dropped back in March of 2021 to a low of 1673. Okay, March low of last year. August of last year, after the Fed said in June they were going to raise rates, gold went back down into the 1670s, held the March low, and rallied sharply. July of this year went back down again to 1680 and rallied again back to about 1770 or something. And today we traded to 1690-something again. if I were a bear, and apparently, according to the CFTC, the institutional positions in gold and silver have shifted to their least bearish position in a long time. I mean, normally, they're sort of weighted to the bear side. Mm-hmm. Now it's the small specs that are heavily short. If I were a small spec, heavily short, especially if I had time-determined puts, you know, cooking away, how come gold can't blow out that silly, obvious low? It's been used, and it's a weird-looking chart. It looks like it needs to be broken through to either suck more shorts into the market and then turn up, bear trap them, which I think it will do, or it simply doesn't go through those lows. And every time we get down here, I'm almost sort of cheering privately for, let's go take out those lows, explore what's down there, which I think is going to be buying. But they can't even do that. Now, here we've got, if you're short, you've got three reasons to be short gold. One, the dollar is so strong. Actually, since the May breakout, when it took out the range highs of the last 7 years, the dollar's up 5%. Big deal. 6 months, up 5%. Two, the Fed, you can't fight the Fed, they think. Okay, well, therefore, gold's got to go down, right? Okay. Three, when the stock market's weak, oh, golly, gold will go with it. Three prominent, widely held assumptions, and yet gold still hasn't broken through the silly low of the last 2 years. And gold's down right now 6% on the year, while the S&P's down high double digits. NASDAQ's down a lot more double digits. T-bonds are down double digits. Muni bonds are down, everything in a normal portfolio is getting killed to the tune of double-digit percents, and gold's down single-digit percents and can't seem to break through. What's going on here?
I don't know. Tell us.
Question that nobody's asking. I think what it is big money, big funds are accumulating gold because I think they know there's a point at which, and economist Jerry Epstein today, I saw him on TV, Jeremy Siegel, from Wharton School, said the Fed may be going too far here, was jeopardizing these other assets. He's not alone in that. We've been saying it since early in the year, but now there's a lot of economists out there saying, hey, the Fed may be going too far. In which case, there's maybe a point here where the stock market breaks through certain levels that alarms the Fed. And certain other factors come into play, maybe in Europe, maybe here, that cause the Fed and other central banks to rethink the whole thing. The wrong thing is being deflated. The inflationary stock bubble, not the combined. Bloomberg's up 20% on the year.
Michael, usually that's what the Fed does on these tightening situations. They tighten until they break something.
Then the bust cycles.
And then the bust, and then they got to come back in and start pumping money into the system again.
Only this time the bust is far bigger than any bust they've ever seen because we're
Which leads me to a discussion we'll have with John Rubino, I think, later today, and also Alistair McLeod next week, and that is the idea that we may have some sort of a reset, some sort of a major monetary restructuring, a Bretton Woods in Asia, Asian Bretton Woods, Alistair is suggesting. So very interesting times.
Reserve currency,
Yeah, well, they're building up their gold reserves like mad, those two, Russia and China, and a lot of other countries that are not NATO-friendly countries are building up their gold reserves very dramatically. Just real quickly here on a couple of the other commodities. First let me ask you, so do you think we need to see the equity market break down? That will be the thing that really helps gold
I think that is a spark. Now, gold might temporarily want to participate. I keep expecting that because I know there's a mob rule out there that thinks it's inevitable it must, which is false. It's also false that you can't fight the Fed. Fed funds rate went from 4% to 14%, all prior to when Volcker came in. Gold had gone from $100 up to about $800 before Volcker even came into office. And rates had gone from 4% Fed funds to 14%, and gold had a bull market all during that time. So remember that. You can fight the Fed sometimes. And I think this is one of those times. So maybe the stock market is the spark, which will fool people because they'll expect gold to collapse if the stock is down. And I think it could be the spark that really injects fire into gold on the upside.
So that may take us down there, as you say, to see what's below that 1690 level. Let's see what's down there. Okay. All right. Just real quickly, I saw you put something out, rice. is rice and commodities, agricultural commodities.
Well, rice is, they trade the futures, you know, and it's pushing it. It's all-time highs. In fact, it made these price highs that it's currently at a decade or so ago, and then several years ago, and then now it's clustered at these all-time highs. So unlike some of the other grains, which had pretty good corrections, and now I think are ready to reassert themselves to the upside, like corn, wheat, and beans, rice never did really correct. It just sitting there crowded at all-time highs. Rice, of course, is, you know, 3.5 billion people. It's an essential.
Right. So, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's okay. And oil and gas, especially natural gas.
I think gas is the one to watch, not gasoline, but natural gas.
Natural gas, okay.
You know, we still expect maybe it can go up 50% from here, meaning up in the teens. That would be very crippling in the winter, you know.
Oh, my goodness, would it ever. Hope in a way, I hope not, even though I have a vested interest in owning a few shares of a natural gas company. Anyway, Michael, thank you so much for your insights. Always great to have you. And thank you. We'll look to have you again in a couple of weeks. All righty. Folks, don't go away. Patrick Highsmith of Timberline Resources will be with me to talk about that company's project in Nevada, a Carlin-style gold deposit that they've discovered. Very exciting story, and the stock is selling for pennies, low pennies. Yes, I think it's one you might want to take a look at if you're interested in this sector. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Patrick Highsmith.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Voice America programs are now available on your favorite connected device, including Amazon, Alexa, and Google Home. Through streams with Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio, listening to your favorite show is as easy as saying the show name followed by the word podcast.
Hey, Alexa. Play Finding Your Frequency podcast.
If that doesn't work, try adding on TuneIn or on iHeartRadio or on Apple Podcasts.
Lion One Metals is focused on high-grade gold in Fiji, led by legendary Canadian financier Walter Barakoff. Lion One is permitted for production and drilling for discoveries in one of the most exciting high-grade gold projects in the prolific South Pacific Ring of Fire. Lion One trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol LIO and on the OTCQX under the symbol LOMLF. Go to our website at liononemetals.com for more information about Lion One Metals and high-grade gold in Fiji.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.